take a sip.
Okay, I finally found some food, right? I've got gorgeous food. I've got these bits of chips with mayonnaise on top of them. Is this, tell me, by the way, do you happen to know,
pastrami.
This is pastrami?
Pastrami, yeah.
I'm about to eat pastrami, right? And I've met two people here. And I'm going to focus on the man first, right? Because I know he's prepared to tell me what he does. What's your name, please, and what do you do?
I'm Donna Roach. I'm the CTO of Nitrocell.
Is this my Sorry, excuse me.
You're the what?
The CTO of Nitrocell.
What's a CTO?
Chief Technology Officer.
Of a company called?
Nitrocell.
I never heard of them.
Yeah, so a lot of people
me,
in Ireland have
What do you
actually.
Do? What do you do?
So we do integrated e-commerce for small to mid-sized retailers. So if you have an electronic point-of-sale system, we provide you with middleware and web services to keep your point-of-sale system in sync with your web store. So if you're a small retailer, one of the big challenges is that you often have to maintain your e-commerce site separately to your point-of-sale. So for instance, if you have 10 of a certain item in stock in the store, and you sell all 10 out in the store, to reflect that on the web store, a typical small retailer has to go on and they have to mark them as sold. Whereas with our software, you actually, it synchronizes between the two. So as soon as you sell out in the store, it sells out on the web store.
Okay, now I'll tell you who I am. I'm the son of a bookseller.
Oh, cool. Okay, yeah, yeah.
My grandfather set up a book shop in Limerick in 1902.
Very good.
I'll fast forward to today. O'Mahony and Company Limited.
I've heard of them,
in
yeah.
Limerick.
Yeah.
They actually sell books on the shop floor.
Oh, right.
Now, I am not employed by the business. I don't represent the business. But I'm fascinated. If we take that as an example, a bookstore, right?
So
a family bookstore, they've got five outlets, I think, four or five shops. Right?
Yeah, I've been in there. Right? I've been in one of their shops. Yeah.
Right. Now they have X number of copies of the latest thriller by XYZ.
Yeah.
What can your company do for a bookshop?
So I mean, typically a small retailer has an electronic point of sale.
I assume that they have something.
Yeah. So if you have a book and you get 50 copies in stock.
Yeah.
And then you have a web store where you're selling the same book. What we do is our software.
By the way, my family's company have their own web store.
Oh,
you can buy books online from O'Mahony.
But they probably
O'Mahony's.ie.
They probably maintain it separately from their in-store system. So what we do is we connect your point of sale to your web store. So as soon as if you sell something in store, it's instantly reflected on the web store and vice versa. And the same for customer data, you know, all sorts of information. So it greatly reduces the maintenance that you have to do for your e-commerce channel versus your in-store channel. So you maintain all your data in one place and there's one version of the truth. And that ensures that your web store basically takes care of itself.
I have a very techie brother who will listen to this audio, right?
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And he will know what you're talking about. And he may have done it already.
Yeah.
But this is an amazing opportunity.
Oh, absolutely.
To sort of take a real case situation. Or else he's saying to himself, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Right?
A lot of small retailers aren't even aware of it. Like if you look at the enterprise space, the likes of Best Buy and Walmart, they're all doing this already. But what we're doing is we're bringing enterprise-level e-commerce technology to small retailers.
Oh, look, and you're based in Cork?
Give you my card. Yeah, we're based in Cork, yeah.
You
we're an indigenous Cork company.
You're an indigenous Cork company. Where are you physically based in Cork?
The Airport
Business
Park?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know what that is, right? Nitrocell, Nitrocell, right? The website is a .com website, right? Donna, what do you want anyone who listens to this audiobook to do, right? This is the call to action.
Well,
right?
You know, take a look at our website. If you're a small retailer, we're a good
What's
fit for
small?
Most.
You're using the word small. I want to know. Everyone's
to,
small in comparison to, with Amazon, right?
Come up on. up to 20 physical stores.
Right. I would have thought, you know, being
well,
very
it's,
naive,
it's
that
tier,
a place that has 20 stores is big.
Well, it's tier 3 and tier 4 retailers.
Okay, right.
Like a tier 1 retailer could have thousands of stores.
Wonderful.
A tier 2 could have hundreds of stores. So we're tier 4 mostly and edging into tier 3. So we range from single store, what Americans call mom and pop stores, right up to, we actually, our biggest customer has about 300 to 400 stores. But that's kind of exceptional.
I have guaranteed listenership in Australia and in
yeah,
Canada,
we have
right?
customers in Australia
and in
Canada
York,
as well.
And in New York, right? So will you provide service to them?
Absolutely. I mean, the only criterion really is that you have the right point of sale system. So we, at the moment, we deal with two Microsoft point of sale systems, Microsoft Retail Management System and POS 2009, and we're in the process of expanding to other point of sale systems. So if you're not using one of those point of sale systems, we'll still talk to you because.
And which kind of people in these companies do you want to talk to? What you know? Are you talking about the IT manager? Are you talking about the commercial director?
No, the decision makers.
The decision makers.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have people who talk to every level of the organization.
And when did you set up this? I mean, no. Who set up this business in the first place? Nitrocell. Who's the founder?
Two guys, Jerry Walsh and Tom Keane. So Jerry Walsh used to be the CTO. I took over from him last year. And they set it up in 2005. They got funding from Enterprise Ireland and Enterprise Equity.
Have they been through all the Enterprise Ireland system?
Oh, yeah. We took about 700K in funding from Enterprise Ireland.
And found matching funding of your own?
From individual investors and from Enterprise Equity.
I work with a company called Acari Software. Mm-hmm. They basically will run your curriculum if you're a third level higher education institute.
I always thought there was a big opportunity in education.
Right, so Owen O'Leary and Horrig, listen to this man, right? He thinks you took the right thing. Anyway, they're in that space. They recently got the contract to run NUIG, National University of Ireland, Galway. They're the platform on which NUIG will take their curriculum development forward, right?
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Excellent.
You know, populating the modules, all the making courses, deciding
is it a bit
how.
Like Blackboard or is it?
Well,
different?
They're just my client. I don't know what they do. I just build their reputation.
Very good.
That's all I do. I know I should know more than I do, but I don't. But
anyway,
the main thing is that's it's that kind of stuff. Okay, we better stop. I better let you go.
Marketing and PR, you said you build a reputation.
Yeah, I'm a reputation builder. From my perspective, marketing and PR is tactical and short term, right? My usual approach is to start from kind of legacy and reputation, you know? If you own a business and you talk to me and you want me to work with you, I mean, I'll do lots of things for you if you like, but if you want to know what could I do best for you, I would say, okay, tell me what you want on your tombstone. Let's start there, right? What do you want to be known for? In the word brand. What is the brand you want to build, right? Right? What do you want people to be saying about you? What conversations do you want to promote, right? How great do you want to be? And that's an actual precise question in my book. How great you either want to be unknown as a cobbler and just deal with passing trade and you don't want to go anywhere except the people who walk in the door. You want to be the best in Cork, the best in Munster, the best in Ireland, the best in the English-speaking world, the best in the globe, right? Clarity is about where you want to be. And you don't have to go global. You can aim for local, right? And that can be your life's mission. So anyway, that's...
Initially, though, when you have that conversation, it sounds easy to answer, but in fact, it's probably not for these companies.
Yeah, a lot of people, in my experience, to be truthful, I've talked to so many business owners of lots of sizes. Now, I mean, the really big ones have done it, you know, because they know that they'll be nowhere unless they're clear, you know. But at the beginning, you know, somebody who sets up a company, employs half a dozen people, their main instinct might be, I want to survive. I want to be here in 3 years' time. And that's okay. But there is a question. Before you can work on their reputation, you have to need to know where do you want to go, right?
Yeah.
You don't want a reputation for being a survivor.
Yeah, you want a strategic vision.
I mean, you need to say, I want to be known because I helped more people to do more in this area than anybody else in my generation. Yeah?
Yeah, makes sense, yeah. So that's what you're doing on Twitter, is you have a big personal brand and you're building on that all the time.
Well, I stumbled into it, to be truthful. It's lovely to be interviewed by somebody on my own audiobook. This is fabulous. This is wonderful. But I stumbled into it by accident. You know, I got into blogging because I came from the UK to Ireland.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of in background. I'm a social.
And what did you do in UK?
I'm a sociologist and social anthropologist in back by disposition. No, I was a management consultant in the UK. And I went from being an academic to being a bus conductor to from the bottom of an organization to reasonably high up, head of customer service and management development for 19,500 people in one organization, got made redundant, went to the National Trust, Anyway, there's a long story. I am somebody who's used to working in big organizations, right? I set up my own business in 1998, and it was a micro business, just me, and I collaborate. I do collaborations, right? So I had a great living, a great time in the UK. And I've kind of reinvented myself in the world of social media. Reinvented. I got into Twitter because I wanted to find out what is this thing people are talking about.
Yeah, you're curious.
But then I went, oh my goodness, this suits me. I got into audiobook because someone told me it existed. And I said to myself after trying it out, wow, this suits me. I have 1,300 podcasts on audiobook.
On your own website?
I'm a quantity person. I mean, other people
can... Is the quality there?
Other people can judge the quality, right? It's for others to say. I always say, look, the one thing I can guarantee you is I do quantity, right? So...
Well, that helps in marketing, I mean. Quantity.
Well, you know, the thing I take is I belong to the other side of the coin. In one marketing technique is send out 400,000 emails, get 20,000 customers. Metrics win, you know, you can do it, right? Send 1,000 out, get 2 customers. That may be all you need. But I don't belong in that world. I do attraction marketing. I don't sell. Other people buy. That's my stance. I know it's a cliche, right?
But it's a nice philosophy to have.
Well, I believe that what I do on audio is I aim to create interesting content, right? I aim to let you speak your message to the world, right? I don't want to hog the show. I mean, I've never ever had this experience of somebody in the middle of an interview actually interview me, and it's beautiful. It's absolutely, because often
well,
I'd say...
Well, you know, we're having a conversation. It can't all be one-sided.
You see, that's a great point, the difference between an interview and a conversation. There is a stunningly brilliant practitioner of the art of conversation in Vancouver in Canada called Jane Boyd. On Twitter, she's Boyd Jane. And she's recently done an extraordinary project in which she started out on Google Plus. Ever use Google Plus?
Yeah, we use it at work for Hangouts.
Pardon?
We use Hangouts at work because we have a lot of remote workers.
Well, Jane Boyd stumbled into using live on-air Hangouts.
Yeah.
And started doing a thing called 45 conversations. It is, you can find it. She's about, she started on Canada Day, on or the first of the month.
Take a note here.
The in-between Canada Day and Independence Day, 4 days.
Yeah.
She's 45 on Independence Day, and she decided that at the age of 45, she'd like to have conducted, in 4 days, 45 Google Plus live on-air conversations, right? Well, I'm her greatest supporter. I told her it was wonderful, it was brilliant. Never for one second did I think she would do 45 in 4 days, right? But it doesn't matter, because she changed the rules during it. As she's a woman, she's entitled to change the rules, right? She's also this person who started
That's
the project. I'm not a diplomat. But no, but she's also somebody, when you start a project and you define the vision, you define the mission, you can change the rules, right?
Right? You're in control.
She's a rule maker, a rule breaker, she's wonderful. And the point about Jane Boyd is she has actually done, it is, she has discovered, I'd say discover really is the right word, a brilliance at the art of conversation. And up on Google Plus are conversations with the founder of Audioboo. I'm just going to quote you founders, right? The founder of Listly, Nick Kellett, which is another piece of software which most people won't have heard of, but it's true. She has talked to very big hitters and very small hitters, people who are very good at marketing, people who are all over the world, global conversations, right?
Mostly business conversations.
Well, they're conversations, and she talks about family. She talked to Mark Rock about his kids. Now,
what's the origin? How does it initiate?
Jane
mean, you
Boyd,
can't get anyone to talk to you. I mean,
I just ring them out of the
Do you know what? I'll tell you something, right? Genbyte has done about 34, we need to check, of the 45 conversations, right? If you're attracted by the idea of talking to Jane Boyd, right? I'll link you with, and Jane Boyd will listen to this audio, right? But I can link you with Jane Boyd, right? You work for LinkedIn, right? I mean, it doesn't matter who you work for, to be honest. You're a real person. I can, Jane Boyd will tell you herself. She's interested in you as a person, how you navigate life. That's my word, not hers. But how you deal with the stuff that you're interested in, right?
I'm just really interested how it evolves. Like, and it's all public conversations, like a blog that people follow.
They're public conversations, but they're live on air on Google. People can go in live on air and watch the conversation as it happens real life. Google, as you, I'm sure, know very well, Donna, will automatically turn the live conversation into a YouTube video.
Yeah.
And it's there for posterity.
Google Plus is pretty phenomenal. It's like the social network that no one's heard of, you know, in the general public. I mean, I think there are a lot of tech people on Google Plus, but in terms of public penetration, it's not really there yet. But there, Hangouts is really impressive technology. We use it because we have a lot of remote workers, so we have 6 people geographically spread across the US, and we have meetings on Hangouts, and it really makes it much more personal. And you know,
last night I watched, I participated, I didn't speak, but I chipped in with tweets and stuff, a Google Hangout run by the Cochrane Group in New York, right? They're very big in real estate. They were doing a hangout with having a guy from Australia talking about, the theme was how property is sold in Australia in comparison with North America. Now that's very interesting. As the first part of that, and they publicized it for a week beforehand, right? And they did it, they're very, very professional, right? The guy who fronted it all, whose name I can't remember, right? I'm sure he'll forgive me. He is so good on his feet, nimble, knows his stuff, right? He knows Google Plus. He knows how to use social media. He had community manager on air. He had branding people on air, right? Live. He had people from various countries on air, right? And they do this conversation for 1 hour, as you were saying. Now, the Cochrane Group is only at the beginning of using Google Plus, but they said there was a fascinating conversation last night about the potential of Google Plus.
You've sold it to me.
I think Google Plus.
It's a very effective
killer
way to engage with customers. I think that's a big aspect of it.
And I contacted an estate agent in Clonmel in Ireland called Pat Quirk. Pat, if you're listening to this, I'm giving you a shout out. Who I know is on Twitter and is very engaging. I contacted him on Twitter and said, Pat, do you know about the Cochrane Group live on air hangout that is happening this afternoon? He went on it. So you can have a local estate agent in Ireland who's doing their best on social media. Here we have a global conversation by big hitters, including, you know, vice presidents of known companies, right? Known, you know,
corporations.
I only know, look, you know how many companies there are, we can't know them, right? But huge. And you're a tremendous advocate for it. If you say it works, isn't that right?
Well, I like to think so. But
now, come back to Jane Boyd before we finish. This thing goes under the hashtag on Twitter, 45 conversations, if you Google it. But in my humble opinion, if Jane Boyd keeps going, if she keeps going, she's going to end up being, okay, the world's greatest demonstrator of, you see,
she's like the talk show host of Google Plus.
But you see, people go into interviews very well prepared, right? you got your seven questions. You know, yeah. You might even tell him the seven questions.
Definitely.
Jane Boyd doesn't operate like that. She starts off by saying, you know, lovely to see you. I've always thought this about you. You know, where are you now, right?